China's increasing influence in the Pacific has been a point of concern for many in foreign affairs circles, but now Fiji has decided it will tell China to remove the officers it's had embedded in the country's police force for over a decade. The ABC's Fiji reporter Lithe Manovo has been covering the story. Lithe, just remind me, what was the deal originally, 10 years ago, that saw China provide police officers for Fiji in the first place?
Hi. Well, look, my reading off that agreement from 2011 is that the deal benefits us more than China in the sense that we get to ask for technical expertise. So, for example, there were Chinese officers embedded in our forensics unit, in our testing units, in our more technical kind of specialized units of the Fiji Police Force. And in addition to that, we would send a number of police force officers to mainland China to study for short courses, but as also for, you know, like full-on 3-4 year programs. However, as soon as they came into power, Sitiveni Rambuka's government immediately suspended that agreement. And in a conversation that I had with him 2 days ago now, he said it was important for the people of Fiji to realize that this was a different government, one that was not, I think the words he used was selling out the country. And so he said it was more a show of where they stood in terms of who their allies are.
There was quite a controversial situation at one point where Chinese officials in Fiji arrested around 80 suspects and flew them directly to China without any kind of official extradition or due process. That must have been seen curiously by Fijian locals, I imagine.
Absolutely. And especially when, you know, very, very few of us, I mean, I wasn't definitely one of the few who were aware of you know, that aircraft coming over and taking 77 Chinese nationals back to the People's Republic of China. So it was quite a shock to a lot of people that that could just happen. This is a country that, you know, has been pretty hell-bent on declaring, proclaiming and protecting our sovereignty. So to wake up one morning and hear that there was a big jet that came over and took people across with their own officers, it was shocking. And there wasn't very many effort on the part of the government at the time to explain to us what that was about. However, with this media attention and with footage now surfacing of exactly how that went down, the conversation has come up again. And I did put it to the Prime Minister the other day that this is a worst case scenario situation, you know, not just for Fijians, but for, of course, our partners, our allies. And he made it clear to me that one, that is not possible in that this agreement, the agreement in its current form. And he also said that the way that happened then was not necessarily how we understood at the time. He alluded to the possibility that there was an extradition treaty, maybe. So I said to him, you know, like you rightly mentioned earlier, I said, wait, we didn't see this in the courts. You know, nothing happened in our courts. And he said, the extradition orders don't work that way. And in a off-the-record conversation that I had with a very senior person in the Ministry of Home Affairs and Defense, they explained to me that extraditions happen all the time and that the police force is the implementing agency and that they can go ahead and facilitate an extradition and many of us would be none the wiser. So, you know, alluding to the possibility that that may have been what happened then. But whether or not the agreement in its current form, now that it's back on track, allows for that, the answer, he says, is no.
When you are speaking to Sitiveni Rambuka, do you get the sense that this may be the start of something more about perhaps Fiji's rejection of Chinese influence, no matter how legislated or not legislated it has been in the past?
Well, look, the sense that I get when I speak to the man about our bilateral relations with China or our relations with China in relation to how we, you know, interact with Australia, New Zealand and our Western allies is that he is not about to say no to a government that is, you know, coming across with everything that he wants on a silver platter. So, you know, the big infrastructural development, that's important to Sitiveni Rabuka's political career going forward. He's inherited more debt than any other leader of government in our history. He's inherited a completely dilapidated public infrastructure. Our hospitals are falling apart. Our roads are horrible, bridges, everything. So this might be the one part of his work plan that has to be number one on the priority list. And so he's made it clear that whoever helps him with infrastructure, he is not going to turn away. However, he's also very quick to make clear that our democratic values are in conflict with that of the values of the Chinese Communist Party. And so I see him making an effort to send out those signals. And I while he's talking to me, I can appreciate that he may be talking to Australia and New Zealand and, of course, the UK and America.
Well, I'm glad that the ABC's own Lethe Manovo is included in that illustrious list of sovereign powers. Very nice to have you on the inside, as it were. Lethe Manovo is the ABC's Fiji reporter. Have a lovely Easter. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you. And you, Vinaka.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.